I've been working in my yard the last couple of days here. Yeah, Monday I spent all day, and then last evening when I went home cutting grass and getting the garden ready and stuff, and I've managed to bang up two of my fingers. And this morning I had bandages on too, and I told my wife, I got to quit this yard work. I'm running out of fingers. Amen. Hopefully they won't fall off. Zechariah. Now, we're gonna get into Zechariah tonight, but Zechariah has 14 chapters. It's a rather long book, so we're going to take a little bit of time and work our way through there. There is a lot in Zechariah. And so we're going to begin with chapter 1 tonight, down through chapter 2. And let's just look at chapter 1. It says, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Wow. Here's the man of God bringing a message. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I command my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were there red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts. And a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then lifted I up mine eyes, and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah, to scatter it. Let's pray. Lord, bless us. Now we're going to embark on this study of this particular prophet, Zechariah. There is so much in this book. And Lord, we know we'll never exhaust it. But there are some things you want us to see. And I pray that you'd open up our spiritual eyes tonight. Show us the truths we need, the truths that you have for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Zechariah. I titled him A Man of Many Visions. A Man of Many Visions. And tonight we're going to see the first three visions that Zechariah had. Now, we want to begin by talking about the man, Zechariah. The man. Nearly 30 men in the Bible carry this name. Very popular among the Jews. And Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. We've read here that he's from the tribe of Levi. We're given a little bit of his lineage here where we're told his father's name was Berechiah. That means Jehovah blesses. And his grandfather is Edo, which means his time. The interesting thing about Edo is he was one of the men that came back with Zerubbabel when they first returned way back in Nehemiah chapter 12. We read about him. So he was one of the original that left Babylon, came back. His grandfather. So it gives you an idea of the age of Zechariah. We'll talk about his timetable here in a minute. But Zechariah was probably a young man. He began to prophesy just 2 months after Haggai. They were contemporaries. And he's mentioned, Zechariah, in both books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Tradition tells us he lived to a very old age. The man. Then we see his times. In the earliest date in this book of Zechariah, second year of Darius, his tapis, and this man began to rule, and we know from history, in 522 B.C. So that what we're reading occurred in 520 B.C., and it gives us the months that are listed there. Zechariah probably wrote his message, we believe, from 520 to 516 in that four-year period, B.C. What was his message? Well, very few books in the Old Testament have as many visions as Zechariah does. Actually, this book has been referred to as the Apocalypse of the Old Testament. You know, the Apocalypse is the book of Revelation in the New Testament. Well, people have labeled this the Apocalypse of the Old Testament. The book of Revelation in the New Testament, Zechariah in the Old Testament, and his prophecies undoubtedly say more about the Messiah than any of the other of the minor prophets that we've talked about. Now, his message is about the Messiah and about future things, much prophecy about things that are going to happen. But his message is also about submission. Judah's need to submit to Jehovah. Their submission would require their turning from sin, their turning from going their own way, and being willing to fill God's purpose. God had a purpose for Israel. I hope you understand that. God's purpose for Israel, and now Judah, was to be a light to the Gentile nations of the great God, Jehovah. they were to live for him, and God was going to bless them abundantly and protect them and do all the things God was doing for them. But they kept refusing to live for him. It's interesting, they've now been allowed to come back, and we read there where Zechariah mentions the 70 years. They've been in captivity 70 years. Now they've been allowed to return. Now they're rebuilding the temple. Now the walls are going to be rebuilt. All these things are going to happen. And yet as we read, we find out they still walked away from God. We have the 400 silent years, and then we join in the New Testament there, and the gospel accounts how Jesus came, and the Jews still weren't living for God. And so God will have to judge them. But once again, God sends another prophet to call them back. It's not too late. Return to me, God says. I want to bless you, but you must submit to me. Well, let's look at big point number two. And this is the first of his three visions. There's a call to repentance here in these first six verses. The book was delivered in 520, second year of Darius, considered to be one of the most intensely spiritual calls to repentance in the whole Old Testament. By the way, it's interesting that once again, we are faced with the subject of the inspiration of the Scriptures. In verse 1 and verse 2, it says, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord to Zechariah. And this is God's word. The word of the Lord came to him. He was the human writer of God's message. You getting that? This is a man who's a human instrument being used by God to write God's message. And that's what the whole Bible is about in the subject of inspiration. Human agency being used of God to put down on paper his message. That's what we have. We don't have a book written by men. We have a book penned by men, written by Almighty God as he moved men, Paul tells us over in Timothy. Haggai, remember we talked about him? He came and the people had stopped on their rebuilding process and he challenged them about, you better get busy again. Why do you live in your sealed houses and God's house isn't built? They started in September 520 B.C. At this time, Zechariah shows up and he likewise calls these people to a spiritual awakening. So they don't have just one prophet in this time period. They have two. Two men of God crying out to them the same message. The message that if they would turn to God, he would turn to them. Well, the call to repentance there in these first verses. And then we see the vision of the man among the myrtle trees. Zechariah goes on to describe a series of visions he received. From what we understand, these visions must have come to him one night toward the end of the Jewish year. That was about 3 months after Zechariah first called on the nation to repent. So he brings this first message, and then a couple of months later, he has these visions. And the first one is this man in the myrtle trees. Now, it's interesting to me that we can pretty much nail down dates where these things happened. All the way back then, because of records of history we have. For instance, when Darius ruled. So, we believe, and it's generally held that on February the 15th, 519 B.C., in the Bible that would be the 24th day of the month Sivan, second year of Darius. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah in the form of visions. In the Old Testament, we understand, in the Old Testament, these visions that God gave the people share an equal authority with the spoken word of God. Now, if somebody comes to me today and says, I have visions, I say, well, you should quit eating pizza before you go to bed. Because God's not working through visions today. But he was then. And they were just as authoritative as a prophet who came and said, thus saith the Lord. In the vision, we read how Zechariah saw a man riding upon a red horse. This man stopped among the myrtle trees. And behind him, we're told there were other horses. Some speckled, some white, some red. In verse 9, we learn that his curiosity is kind of startled there. And he says, oh my Lord, what are these? Now, I want you to take notice with this, lest you get confused. Look at the next sentence. And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. Get the picture now. He's having this vision. He sees the horses. Man on a red horse. Three color horses behind him. Don't know how many, but three color horses behind him. And he says, what's this all about? What's this mean? And an angel speaks to him. Get that in your computer. An angel speaks to him. And he says, I'll show you. Now verse 10, and the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. This is the guy with the horses. Now look at verse 11. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees. Okay, look up here. We've got an angel talking to Zechariah, explaining, and he sees the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is in the myrtle trees. The angel of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a theophany. In the Old Testament, when you see the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus appearing on this earth before the incarnation. This is what Zechariah is seeing. He sees the Lord, the angel of the Lord, among the myrtle trees with these horses. He says, what's that mean? And then we're told, they, apparently people who are riding these horses, answered the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still as at rest. So apparently these are some kind of spies, I guess you would call it, that checked out what was going on in the world. Now, we need a little background study. This is the angel of the Lord that he sees. Lord Jesus Christ riding on a red horse. In Bible prophecy, red is always the color of war and bloodshed. This man stood or he stopped among the myrtle trees. He stayed on his horse. Of course, myrtle trees were a very common shrub, and they usually grew in bottomland, so it may well have been a ravine. And the angel said to Zechariah, I'm going to show you what this is all about. But the angel of the Lord, the rider of the red horse, gave the interpretation. He said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro for the earth. They're kind of a military patrol. And their task was to survey the world. And they said, in verse 11, all the earth was still and at rest. Now, that's hard for me to imagine. But we believe what they're saying is Persia was the power of the world at that time, and everything in their power was at rest. There was no war going on currently. There would be war. But right now, Persia had kind of put down all conflicts, and there was peace. But look at the next verse. This is a very interesting verse. Then the angel of the Lord, who is that?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ, answered and said, O Lord of hosts. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? He's talking to his Father. Oh, the Trinity's not in the Bible. Oh, really? Well, here's Jesus, the Son, talking to the Father. That's two parts of the Trinity. The angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts. He's talking to his Father. How long wilt thou have mercy on Jerusalem, on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years, these 70 years? How long? God had stated that the land would be desolate for 70 years. He told them they would be carried off. He even told them they would get to return. He's referring to the Babylonian captivity. And this angel of the Lord refers to the fact that, hey, they've been through that, and yet they're still suffering. And then the Lord gave comforting words to this interpreting angel. And this angel shares them with Zechariah in verse 13. And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words. Uncomfortable words. Good news. Don't you like good news? I do. I don't like surprises, and I don't like bad news. But I like good news. What's the good news? God cared about Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 14. So the angel that communed with me, now this is the one that's speaking to Zechariah, said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. What God's saying there is, I care a great deal about Jerusalem and Zion. My heart is with Jerusalem and Zion. I care. I'm concerned. But then look at the next verse. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Oh my. In that verse, God is saying he's upset with the Gentiles. Because God had used the Gentiles to judge his people. But they went far beyond what God ever intended them to do. And God was upset with them. Verse 15, he's angry with them. I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am, boy, there's the I am, return to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. God was angry with the Gentiles, but he says here he's going to show mercy to Jerusalem. He says the temple is going to be rebuilt and the cities would prosper across the land there in verse 17. Crying out, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. That's the end of that first vision. Let me click through those. Now we continue with this first vision, and we see another part of it. This same night, he has this other vision of four horns and four craftsmen. And he says in verse 18, And the Lord showed, then lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. Now these, I don't believe, are trumpets or bugles. I believe they're horns. I'll show you why in a minute. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. All right, so we've got another vision. And he talks about four horns and four craftsmen. What he's dealing with here is God's judgment now. Remember, God said he's upset at the Gentiles, his judgment on the nations that afflicted Israel. The first part is given very briefly in verse 18. Then lift up mine eyes and saw and behold four horns, and he talks about that. And what he's talking about there when he talks about horns, I believe, is power and authority. That's what horns are indicative of. For the second time, Zechariah says, okay, what's this mean? He says they're the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Most likely when he says that, he's referring to the four great world powers that Daniel spoke of. Do you remember who Daniel spoke of? And that statue that was built and how it represents different powers that would rule the world? How many ever know about that? Oh, I guess we better study Daniel. That image that was made is indicative of the four powers that would rule: Babylon, Medo-Persia. And Medo-Persia is in power right now that we're talking about. Later comes Greece, and then the Roman Empire. All coming against Israel. Some of it's still future. Gave him a rapid reply there. And then he says in verse 20, the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? He said, these are the horns which have scattered Judah so that no man did lift up his hand. But these are come, these carpenters, to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. All right, these carpenters are craftsmen skilled in wood, or could be metal or stone, but we would say wood because they're carpenters. And these we take as one vision together when he talks about the horns and he talks about the carpenters. It's one ball of wax. They were to fray, we might call terrifying, these horns that we talked about. Who were the horns? Oh, that was Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. So these powers are the ones who are going to deal with them. And they were probably four successive powers, but get this, they're really the same powers we're talking about. See, Medo-Persia, we know from history, was the power that destroyed Babylon. Greece was the power that destroyed Medo-Persia. And Rome was the power that destroyed Greece. So these carpenters represent the same powers, but when they turn on one another and destroy the next one, because they had come against Israel and Judah. Well, then we come to chapter 2. We didn't read this. Let me put these up. Now we got a man with a measuring line. God said he would stretch out a line over Jerusalem. And in chapter 2, it says, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? He said, well, where are you going? He said unto me to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth. Watch. And another angel went out to meet him. Said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be under her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. I like that. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the holy land, shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Here's the vision. A man with a measuring line. The measuring line speaks of the rebuilding of the city during Nehemiah's time. By the way, that's not yet come. Get the timeline. They've returned. They're rebuilding the temple now, 520. But, Nehemiah is not until the 400s, late 400s. So that hasn't happened yet. But God said there will be a rebuilding of the city. It's a reference to the time of Nehemiah, and there's a double reference here. This city is literally going to be rebuilt. And Nehemiah did that. But God says there's coming a day when there's going to be another Jerusalem. The millennial time. He says he'll put a wall of fire around there. There won't be any more persecution of the Jews. They will have their land again, and Jesus will be the king and the ruler from Jerusalem. That's a coming day. Zechariah asked the question, whither goest thou? And you know, he noticed something with me here. Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem. See, he's not talking to the angels, talking to him now. He's talking to Lord Jesus Christ, who's got the measuring line, who's going to be the judge. He's going to measure Jerusalem. But before he arrived, the Lord gave a second angel to give the answer. It says, and behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. And then he gives this prophecy. The future blessing. The millennial city. God says in that day the population will rise and he will be a wall of protection. And he says he shall choose Jerusalem again. I love verse 8 where he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. And see, I just believe we're all the apple of his eye. If you're saved, I believe you're the apple of his eye. And I believe when people mess with me, they're messing with the apple of God's eye. You have any children? How is it when somebody messes with the apple of your eye? You know, I've done some hunting in my life, and I remember on one occasion I was on a deer stand. I just found a nice spot, sat down, was watching, and it was mid-morning, opening day, and boy, I heard something. I said, aha, here they come. And I got ready, and I heard, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And I kept looking, and pretty soon I saw, and here comes this little bear Just a little guy. Cute as a button. And he got down there just a little ways from me, and he looked at me, and I looked at him. I thought, man, look at that. Isn't he? That is so cool. And then I said, wonder where Mama is. The last thing in the world I want to do is get between a bear cub and her mama. And I learned in the ministry, last thing I want to do is get between some parent and their kid. That's a bad place to be. God says, we're the apple of his eye. Don't ever forget that. Negative circumstances, things that hurt, just don't ever forget. You're still the apple of his eye. People do you wrong and things, just remember, they're picking on one of God's kids. That's why Jesus said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Leave it to him. Just take it to him, Father. They're picking on me. I'm your child. You said I'm the apple of your eye. God will do a much better job taking care of that situation than you ever will. All right, questions about Zechariah, the first couple chapters. I can't keep up with this thing. All right, I'll back it up. That's no problem. We can do that. There you are. The vision, the question, the interpretation, and it repeats itself in the next slide. But the vision's expanded, the question, the interpretation. And that's what these first couple chapters, these visions are about. He has the visions and he says, what's this all about? And God explains it to him. And anybody